This podcast is part of the Game and Entertainment Network. Visit tgenetwork.net to find the latest episodes from all our shows.
Welcome to the Pixels and Dice Podcast, a show by gamers, for gamers. We cover everything from Mario to Munchkin, role-playing to retro games, and everything in between. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Beolus.
And today, got a very interesting topic to discuss. But first, wanted to mention that we've kind of hit a milestone.
A milestone?
That's right. Today is the very first show we're recording online.
Oh, I thought we'd hit like, you know, the 10th episode or something.
Oh, no, we're well past that. But it's not only the first online show we're recording, it's also the first live show we're recording in front of a studio audience.
Do we have an audience?
Nobody showed up, but I did invite people. Theoretically, there's supposed to be people here. Now, well,
there could be.
Yes, absolutely, in theory. And people could show up.
How much notice did you give them?
I put out the tweet at 9 o'clock, so that was 35 minutes ago.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't plan. This was kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, point is, in theory, the idea
that's
is...
That's the plan.
Yes. We're doing this on Discord, which people go, but whatever. TeamSpeak's better. Ventrilo's better. Discord is free. So, anyway, we have a room set up here on our own Discord server at gamingstuff.website. Where you can go, there's an invite right there in the at gamingstuff.website that you can use. And then you go right into the studio room, look for Bayless and Skirmus. Skirmus? Squirmus.
Scurvy.
Yeah, that guy. Anyway, we'll sit there, we'll talk, you won't. Because the only people that have permissions to talk are me. And you.
Well, they can type.
They can type, exactly, and that's the whole point. They can chat via text, ask questions, comment, whatever. And I see this being a really cool idea as we're now going to be able to bring in more people, possibly have guests on, possibly have... people that come to the show, you know, they have maybe, hey, we've got an idea for a good show, or hey, I'm part of this, or, you know, I'm in this guild or whatever, you want to talk to me about this or that or the other, I've got this perspective. Cool. They might be, bink, now you can talk, and we'll do a show with them.
Well, another thing is another, I should say, idea is, wouldn't it be nice if we had people who wanted to give a shout out, you know, let people know what their guild is like and in what games their guild exists.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I know there's a lot of guilds out there that are multi-game guilds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Para is, it's Paranormal, I think, or something like that. But they have guilds in Warcraft, in Black Desert Online. They've got them in Guild Wars 2, in Elder Scrolls Online, something like that.
Yeah, but the whole point is this will add a lot more interactivity to the show. Mm-hmm. And we have the possibility of adding part-time or even full-time additional co-hosts eventually, or just having guests on that want to join in. it's going to be a good fun. Plus, I also think that we have the open lobby where I was thinking when we do actually have people in the audience, after the show, we can go there where they are available to talk and we can all just chat and have a good time, hang out, get to know the community, and it'll be good fun.
Okay.
But we have to have people show up first. So, remember for the future, we're probably going to announce... I'm going to try to announce like a day in advance, and then an hour or so before, I'll put out another tweet saying, hey guys, we're doing this at this time, and come join us, and we'll have a good time.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Anyway, so what's been going on with you?
Getting ready for the expansion.
Not surprising.
Well, my two favorite characters, one is my engineer, the other one is my new Asuran Ranger. I'm just trying to get gear on my Asura Ranger, so I've been going out and doing the 100% zone completion.
Hmm.
Because when you complete some of the higher level zones, the completion reward is usually, you know, exotic weapons, exotic armor sets, mystic keys, that sort of thing. And so I've got, I think, one more zone left to do, and it's a level 60 to 70. So, nearly there.
Cool. So, when does the expansion come out again?
The 22nd.
Ah, so that'd be tomorrow.
Pretty much.
Yeah, 'cause we're recording this in advance, yeah. But it's publishing on the 21st, so yay! We're assuming there's no delays and stuff.
That would be nice.
Yeah, delays suck.
Well, considering that they pretty much already have it done, they're just fine-tuning.
I get the feeling that they pretty much had this done when they announced it.
Probably.
It was the
weekend after they announced it that they already had an open playing zone.
Yeah.
And then the weekend after that, we got to go in and play test all the elite specializations.
Yeah.
And I mean, they went flawless. I mean, had no issues whatsoever. No, you didn't get to interact with the new zones as the new specializations. You had to use the PvP lobby, but there were plenty of things to fight. Well, I really shouldn't say fight. They were basically just the target dummies. But still, you could see how your attacks comboed together.
Nice. Well, at least that's something, you know, and it seems to me like it's been going pretty flawlessly from what I've heard.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
I mean, if you talk to the player base, a lot of them are really kind of concerned because there were updates. You'd have to log out and log back in so your system could update the new patch. There was new patches like every half hour to hour.
But that's how the game was designed.
Yeah.
So you could hot patch it.
Oh, that's what concerns people, though, is when you get a whole bunch of hot fixes, that means they're having issues on their end, and they're trying their hardest to keep us from noticing.
Or people are beta testing, and no matter how big your testing group is at a company, you're never going to find all the bugs. Maybe they're getting bug reports that they're able to go and have a QA person jump into the game, observe it for themselves happening to this guild or that group or whatever, and then they report back and they go, okay, here, let me fix that. And okay, we got a fix out. Let's send out another patch, see if that fixes it. It could be just something as simple as that.
Oh, yeah. You're trying to get something done. There's this big event you're working on, and the one nice thing is they do let you know 2 hours in advance before they're going to force you to log out and then restart restart the game.
Right.
So they give you a 2-hour heads up. Hey, a new build is ready. You've got this much time before we're going to force you out and make you update it.
But isn't that the point of beta testing? Is that stuff's broke. It isn't going to be perfect. Don't expect to be able to play a rock solid smooth game.
Oh, I know, but this is players we're talking about here.
Yeah.
These aren't people who are, they know what's going on behind the scenes.
They're more butthurt than I am.
And that's saying something.
That is, considering I'm doing this show rather than being at urgent care right now.
Which makes you an idiot.
I am a dedicated podcaster, sir. Just because there's something wrong with my hip doesn't mean that I'm not going to do my freaking podcast.
You're a dedicated idiot. Go to the doctor.
I'm going to go to the doctor. Anyway, what are we going to talk about today?
I think you wanted to talk about D&D Beyond.
I did, and this kind of dovetails with last week's show, where we raved on about White Wolf and the Storyteller's Vault, exactly.
Yes.
Well, I know in that discussion, we had talked about how wouldn't it be great if there was something like that, like the Storyteller's Vault, but for D&D, and how big that would be.
Oh, yeah, that could be huge. If they did it right.
And in case people didn't listen to last week's show, just a quick revamp. Storyteller's Vault for White Wolf is basically allows you to make your own World of Darkness books for vampire, werewolf, whatnot, with official artwork and official book designs and fonts and everything. They provide you all the assets. You take your book that you've written, your homebrew stuff. You set it all up with these assets. And then they, once they've checked it, will then sell it as non-canon books. Not physical, just digital. But they will sell it on this site, Storyteller's Vault. And you get half of the money. Now, that's not saying a huge amount. I'm not saying you're going to get rich off of it, but if you're selling a homebrew book for 10 bucks, 5 bucks each time someone downloads it ain't chump change.
Pretty much, yeah.
And it's a great way for White Wolf to find a way to monetize the massive homebrew community that they've had for decades.
Yeah, but D&D has had a homebrew group for much longer.
For nearly 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just seems like a absolute...
Made heaven?
Yeah, it's a slam dunk. Why wouldn't Wizards of the Coast do this exact same thing?
Oh, and they did.
Well, yes and no.
I didn't say they did it right, but they did.
What they did was D&D Beyond.
Yes.
Which, on the face of it, you look at it and you're like, hey, oh my God, it's got access to all the books. It's got, you can make your character right there on the site and print it out. And it's got all this homebrew content. Oh, it's just like Storyteller's Vault, but more.
Until you look into it.
Exactly. Now, we've been playing Pathfinder on and off for a while now. And one of the guys in our group turned my wife and I onto a program called Hero Lab, which is a multi-system character generator for all intents and purposes. And it works great for Pathfinder. D&D Beyond is basically Hero Lab. And that's it. Which really kind of sucks. So basically, like with a Hero Lab, if you want to make a character with... You get basic books, but if you want to... Because they let you have access to the main core books, basically, to make your character, right? But if you want the more expanded stuff from Paizo, which is the company that makes Pathfinder, you have to buy those books in a digital format that slot into Hero Lab, which is fine. It's like $10 for like a $40 or $50 book. It's much cheaper than normal. You get the rules. Basically, it just slots the rules into what you're available to use to make your character. No problem. Now, if you want to do that with D&D Beyond, they don't give you the core books. You have to buy them.
Right.
And they're $30 a piece.
Right.
And anything else you want, you're paying for.
Well, except for... It's a lot of microtransactions that irritate me.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. They've got this bundle of feats. You can buy X number of feats for like $4. Or you can buy them individually for $1.99 each.
Wow.
And there's a ton of them. So, I mean...
Now,
it's just like a money grab.
Exactly. And you can use the homebrew content for free. That's great. I don't think they're selling that.
No, they can't sell that.
Right. Well, they could if they were to do something like what Storyteller's Vault is doing.
Well, yeah, but they're not going to do that because they want all the money for themselves.
They want all the money.
Wizards of the Coast.
Here's the thing, the way it seems to me. White Wolf is all about empowering their player base and their homebrew community.
Yeah, boosting the community.
Legitimizing them. Whereas Wizards of the Coast is like, you know, it's great. We're going to give you a little place to share your stuff. You know, your stuff, oh, that's awesome. That's fun. Yeah, you share that with your friends. That's fun. You can put that up here and share it. And we'll all, yeah, that's pat you on the head and go away. Oh, don't go away yet, though. You haven't bought the books yet. This is demeaning. Looking at their website, it is completely and utterly demeaning. I mean, even the Hero Lab is presented in a better format than this. Oh, and they have ads. They freaking have ads, video ads for their books. It's like, I didn't come here for ads. I came here to make a character and look at the compendiums and whatnot.
Hey. They're giving you a they're giving you a break on the price, though. If you want to buy the legendary bundle, they get a 15% discount. You're still only paying $301.21.
Right.
So you get the player's handbook, the DM guide, the monster manual, Sword Coast Adventure Guide, and Volo's Guide to Monsters sourcebook, as well as a bunch of the Lost Mine of Phandelver or whatever. You get a whole bunch of pre-made adventures, but it's $300.
Yeah. And you don't actually get those books. Those are just...
No, it's all digital.
Those are only for use on D&D Beyond. So right. If they shut it down, all that's gone.
Uh-huh.
Which is technically the same as Hero Lab. But like I said to you in the pre-show, I've bought like one book for use on Hero Lab, and it was $10 for the digital version for Hero Lab, when the book usually sells for like $40 or $50.
Right.
I'm okay if I lose that 10 bucks. I would not be okay with losing $300 worth of digital content. But it's... and they lie to people. Well, I won't say they lie. They make it seem like it's something that you... it isn't. Basically, look, if you click on compendium content, right? Mm-hmm. You got rules and adventures. It says, you know, this section contains the three core rule books, the Player's Handbook, Dungeon Master's Guide, and Monster Manual, basic rules, and additional rule supplements. Okay. View rule sources. All right. Then it has, you know, the various books and whatnot, right? And that's great. View the Player's Handbook. Now, if I'm clicking on this, this is telling me, hey, I'm probably going to be able to read this right on their website. How handy is that? How nifty is that? I go and click on it. Add to cart, $29.99. Mm-hmm. And it's just the digital content item for use on D&D Beyond. You will not receive a physical product. Oh, but you can just buy the subclasses for $10. Mm-hmm. Or buy them each for $1.99 each. What the hell is wrong with these people? Oh, there's 10 backgrounds you can get for $3.99 or $1.99 each. Here's, I guess, the feats you were talking about. And
yes.
What is wrong with them? Who would... what kind of a moron is actually putting money into this? Now, you've been on their forums. What's the general outlook from the community on D&D Beyond?
I never really got into that section of the forums. All I was trying to do was I was trying to... find out if there was a way that I could create something other than the basic, you know, they've got a place where you can build monsters, you can build magic items and spells, you know, sub-races, feats, things like that. But there was nothing for creating items to add to the game, like that cult I made for Pathfinder, the Cult of Law.
Hmm.
You guys never got... we never got far enough into it to see the full, you know, what the cult really was. So I was going to put down all that work I'd done for that cult. I wanted to build this, you know, what the cult is. And there's no way to do it yet. So I was in the forums finding out if they were going to, in the future, add that function. And it looks like that's one of the things they're working on, but it's still a ways down the road. But as for the rest of the forums, I didn't bother reading them because I just, you know, started really, you know, digging into this a couple days ago.
Well, a player, a moderator, I'm sorry, named Storm Knight, did a FAQ on what you can do for free and things like that, and that's it. There's... oh, they allowed no commentary. It's a locked post. So the thing that talks about, you know, pricing and purchases and all that, you're not allowed to talk about. Right. It's the in the D&D Beyond feedback forum.
In the feedback
forum. Keep that in mind. The feedback forum, it's a locked post.
That's kind of ironic.
Uh-huh.
You can't feedback on their feedback forum.
Right.
That's quality. That makes me want to spend money here.
Yeah, you know, I like D&D. I haven't bought 5th edition because I don't feel a need. I'm perfectly happy with 3.0 and 3.5. But I like the game. And I'm not trying to tear down the game at all.
This has nothing to do with the game itself. This is the marketing and the basically the abuse of the players. They're, if you want to use this feature, you have to spend your money all over again.
Right.
Which is kind of bullshit. If you bought the books should have a code with them that you can type into D&D Beyond so that it shows that you bought them, here's your code, so it allows you to use the book in D&D Beyond.
I absolutely agree. And in fact, strangely enough, I just got to a thread about that called Question, if I have the physical books, do I get to use them on D&D Beyond?
Nope.
And that's basically this guy asks this, you know, question. And Philcat, one of the moderators, says, no, unfortunately, this is not an option. If you need, if you desire, to buy the DDB version of the books, which is digital database version of the books. Mm-hmm. Phyderex responds, who's another adventurer, I have spent over $200 on physical copies of the books for this edition, being fifth. I have been playing this game through every edition. In my lifetime, this hobby has cost me thousands of dollars. Making me buy the same book for digital that I already own is completely ridiculous. Are the people who came up with this model the same people who made the indexes for the Player's Handbook and Dungeon Master's Guide, RE, Chaotic Good, C Under Alignment? Or, you know, just the same damn page number instead of sending me on a wild goose chase through the appendix. I'm done with Wizards.
Pretty much the thought of everybody else who's been here.
This got a response from Philcat. Just a couple of clarifications here. One, D&D Beyond is not developed by Wizards of the Coast, but by Curse, which is owned by Twitch, which he misspelled. He or she, I don't know. Two, every book, anywhere, and any tool set are for those who find some utility in them. If one finds no utility, there is no forcing in purchasing the services offered. Wait. What?
Basically, he's saying that if you find use in this site, then you shouldn't have a problem with buying the books for use on this site. Which is basically a big fuck you to all their players who already bought the books.
Yeah.
They come here and now they gotta buy them again. They're all pretty much just gonna go, well, screw you, D&D Beyond, because I don't need you.
What I love is, first of all, they're saying here that, well, it's not developed by Wizards of the Coast, but by Curse, which is owned by Twitch. Yeah, we get that. And Twitch is owned by Amazon. You want to go that further? Fine. Great. So if I buy my books on Amazon, shouldn't I get a code to use on D&D Beyond? Prum-pum-tsh. Of course not. What they're doing is passing the buck. Hey, it's not our fault they're charging you money. And then at the same time saying, hey, if you find there's utility here, you shouldn't have a problem with paying for it. Which is fine, except they want a huge amount of money compared to, say, Hero Lab, which, by the way, you can make 5th edition D&D characters for and buy the books for. And, like, their books are, like, $10. So, $30 over here or $10 over here, which are you going to cash out?
Well, and that's just it. You don't have to buy all the books. They come with the core books, don't they?
Well, according to this, I haven't looked at Hero Lab recently for it, but probably not, because the D&D books always came with the basic rules, which is basically what D&D Beyond comes with for free, which is fine. You get the very, like, the four core characters. You know, the four core classes, the three or four basic races, I don't remember which it is, human, elf, dwarf, and halfling, right? Mm-hmm. So like four core races, four core classes, just the very most basic rules for free. And that's fine. But if I want to buy the player's handbook, I'm going to be paying 10, 15 bucks, not 30 bucks. And the reason it's 30 bucks is because Twitch wants to have, you know, I should say Curse, wants to have their money, and they've got to pay a royalty to Wizards, because you know Wizards is getting their piece of the pie.
Oh yeah.
So why would anybody use this service when Hero Lab is right there? It's not even needed. There's free character generators out there where people have converted all the books for free. They may not be the best character generators around there. You may not have a really beautiful looking character sheet, but you print out what you get and then you hand transcribe it over to a regular character sheet. And guess what? Your character's freaking awesome and you didn't have to buy a single book. So, I don't know. I've been ranting. You got something to rant about on this?
No, I don't see the point of spending any money at this site.
Especially not when you've got Storyteller's Vault right over here that does it right.
Well, it may not be perfect, but it's a lot better.
Well, no. But it basically gives... Yeah, you can't make characters. Woo. No one cares. You know, how hard is it to make a character? Really?
Well, that's just it. It's the site itself is not designed for making characters.
Right. It's for enabling their homebrew community. And yeah, they are monetizing their homebrew community. Fine. No one has a problem with that because they're giving half the freaking proceeds to the writer.
Right.
I mean, it's freaking awesome. I'm trying not to curse. Anyway, I've been told that that's not good for your podcast. Yeah. Anyway, so did anyone notice I'm on painkillers? And they aren't helping. But the point is that they're at least respectful of their community. You know, they're giving them tools. And yes, they're making money off of them, but they're sharing the wealth. And they make it so easy because you've got the actual books to buy right here, the actual honest-to-God books from, you know, for vampire or werewolf or whatever that you can buy, you know, digital format. Or you can right there purchase the homebrew stuff. It's right in there. Yeah, it's non-canon, but no one cares.
If it's for a home campaign, who cares if it's canon?
Right.
You're not writing a novel using this information, so it has to match the canon.
Well, in theory...
It doesn't even have to match the canon then.
You could, because all fanfic is non-canon anyway. So you could write a book that's essentially fan fiction. That's how we got, Fifty Shades of Grey. It was Twilight fan fiction originally. Yeah, it makes me creepy feeling up my spine too.
Wasn't Twilight fan fiction to begin with?
I don't remember. I try not to think about it.
I've never seen the movie, never read the books.
Yeah, I
one of them.
My wife had me watch part of the original Twilight, and I was like just bored. The baseball scene.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, she thought it was really cool because when they were playing baseball, but they had to do it during a thunderstorm because they could only hit the, you know, swing and hit the ball when lightning was flashing and thunder was going, because otherwise it would sound like thunder, and because, you know, vampires super strong and all that.
Wow, that's kind of stupid.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, I just kind of sat there and rolled my eyes till she let me go on my path, and you'll go on my own way.
Because physics-wise, it's not going to make any louder of a sound, depending on, you know, the harder you hit the ball.
Don't try to think it through. You'll just get a headache. I'm telling you.
The bat might break.
I would expect it would. The only way they'd be actually
not gonna boom like thunder.
No, it would just be an ear-piercing ping, because they'd have to use aluminum bats. And the balls would probably explode.
Probably.
Because we have human batters that can hit a ball hard enough that it rips the hide off. A vampire, probably going to do worse. But then again, these are vampires that can go out in the sunlight and just sparkle. So, why are we talking about this again?
Because we got off on a tangent because of how stupid Twilight is.
And it's how stupid D&D Beyond is.
Yeah, that's a pretty good segue there.
But what really drives me nuts is I'm on that same thread, right? About the physical books and
right.
Copy. Bottom of page 2, you've got people already attacking those who have complained.
Well, there's always going to be the fanboys.
Yeah. And a lot of these, it's like, you know, I've been on the World of Warcraft forums long enough to know if this is a real fanboy or if this is a paid troll. Somebody that's using a sock puppet, a staff member, who is trying to knock down complainers. And Aaron of Barbaria, I'm calling you out as a sock puppet. Yeah.
I'm going to have to get in and start reading these forums, because I'm sure there's a lot of complaints.
I think I'd get myself banned within a day.
Eh, I don't care if I come back.
That's true. It's not like we'll be using the service.
Nope. I can't see it.
Anyway,
apparently you can play D&D through this service directly on the site.
Really? I didn't see that.
It was one of the things somebody was talking about. I just don't remember where.
I know they had on their forums one that was set up for that talked about doing play by post.
Yeah.
Which is an old style of doing it over like the old message boards and whatnot back in the early days of the internet.
Well, I remember trying that.
Yeah, so basically that's just continuing that. There is no actual online software here for playing online that I can see.
Well, then the only real use for this thing is pretty much shot.
Yeah, it's basically share your homebrew stuff and make characters. Things I can do all by myself. So anyway, we're way late. So, any final thoughts?
Wizards of the Coast and D&D, they need to come out with something along the lines of the storyteller's fault.
Oh, yeah.
If Clearly. They want to pay service to their fans over the decades, they need to do something like that. And D&D Beyond is not it.
Nope.
D&D Beyond is a slap in the face. And I won't support them.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Anyway, so until next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Beolus.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Thanks for listening to the Pixels and Dice podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our other content at gamingstuff.website. We have articles, videos, and lots more to enjoy there. So until next time, generic catchphrase ending.